Everybody look over the agenda now. Okay. Chris,
you want to say something about the agenda? This is you.
Yes. I have an amendment to the agenda, and that is an amendment that we almost got on the governance committee, but it is a matter of privilege of the body to do with egregious actions by two of our members. I can, as a motion of privilege of the body, I can ask it to be heard now, but I would ask it to be heard after the GM search committee election, which is very important. Yeah, and this is a closed session matter, so it's an executive session matter, following the GM search committee election. It is a motion of privilege of the body.
Okay, sure.
I have a question and then a request. The GM search committee election, since there is going to be discussion of amending the previously approved motion, and I actually have an amendment to that, and it's STB, and we have to ask for more nominations before nominations are closed. I'm wondering if the 20 minutes includes the vote or simply some of the process questions in getting all the nominations.
Election.
And then I also have, I need a thought, but I would like 5 minutes to add to the governing oversight committee.
Mr. Chair, a simple request. Because of the auditory problem here, people need to speak up. I'm here, but I'm sure people at the other end of the matter come on here.
Speak up!
Speak up. Don't have to shout, but speak loudly.
There you go.
All right.
Yes. I believe our last meeting, we moved to include an hour in this discussion or in a special meeting to discuss the budget further. I don't see that in this agenda.
Thank you, Leslie. I didn't make it.
Yeah.
I would ask if any executive session occur after new business,
I would like to recommend that it be other new business and the public comments so the public can leave if there would be no other unadjusted business. Very unfair of the listeners who are here to have them wait around for however long and then come back in.
And we have to be out of this room by 5 o'clock as well.
The public meeting is not noticed as having any executive session. So I'm recommending a time certain of 4:30.
That's not long enough. 4 o'clock.
So let's just do it now. Well, I need to get a phone. I understand you can't vote on it.
But you're not going to do it.
Nothing ever happened. We do not have a committee, and we do not waste time populating yet another functional committee that will do nothing. That is a joke.
I find it. Excuse me.
Well, why don't we use the power of populating?
Excuse me. I find it ironic.
I remember voting.
I find it ironic that this whole incident was started by someone who went to the police and not to our resolution committee.
That should be a closed session material.
I want to determine right now when we're going to discuss this and the time.
Number two.
Is there an amendment on the floor to have it be 4 p.m. time certain? And was that seconded?
Steve, I have a point of information. Is our conflict resolution committee have a criminal jurisdiction?
No.
I don't believe it does. A criminal act committed in
Michigan. Including
the
conflict.
I'm asking for specific insertion. If my motion is specific insertion after GM search committee election.
Okay, let's take a vote. Do you want me to keep the rolls? We have a second sheet.
Well, let me just take, can we take a hand?
Can we have the report back on the authority given the bylaws and the law on the report back?
Same as the...
Members have rights to place items on the agenda. If the item was not placed on the agenda by the assembly, then the member would have the right to raise it as a question of privilege of the body. That could require a second, and it would require a chair's ruling on its suitability as a question of privilege. But beginning on page 20, it explains how to handle a question of privilege, and the question of privilege is one of a higher priority than a personal privilege.
And it's the chair's decision, is what you're saying?
Well, they could...
Who's
going to vote? What is the privilege of
the mind? Among those things is a matter of discipline, I remember.
And you lose the chair.
As Mr. Condon accepted an amendment to place this as an item on the agenda for a 4 o'clock time certain, I'd like to move that substitute motion that this be placed on the agenda for amendment. Let's make a substitute motion so we only have to have one vote. That Chris Condon's request for a privileged agenda item be placed on the agenda at 4 p.m. time certain.
Second.
Okay, are there any objections?
Yes. Like I said, we have an outstanding committee which is
dealt with.
Let's take
this vote.
Clarification on item 3, and also an additional 5 minutes.
Point of information.
Yes.
Does it require a minimum majority?
If this requires a 2-0 on the...
The question is interactive?
No. Okay, but what did you want to get answered on? What was this?
I would ask for clarification on item 3, would be in 13 of the election. If that 20 minutes includes an amendment and possible substitution to it, and getting the rest of the nominations and the SPD, or if it's only for the process and then the SPD will be done.
So it's certainly election. Well,
I asked the chair a question.
I wasn't at the governor's committee meeting. I don't know how this was discussed.
The word election should tell you.
Pardon?
The word election should tell you that we need to have an election.
Okay.
I'm on the governor's committee.
Go ahead.
Okay. Please read item 2. That's where we're going to take up that amendment to the election motion.
Oh, okay. So this is...
okay.
This is with the SPD vote.
Item 3 is just for the voting itself.
Mm-hmm. And nominations
and voting. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. And I also asked for another 5 minutes for programming of the session.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Just to be the voice of reason, as I recall, last time we did a vote with General Manager Church Committee, it took significantly longer than 20 minutes for everyone to do their pros and cons of why they were brilliant and should be on the committee. And I just remember that we had an entire session devoted to this that took like 2 hours just on that subject. So I'm not trying to amend anything. I'm just pointing out that 20 minutes seems...
Well, when we get to that, we probably will have to extend time.
Okay.
Right. So we'll deal with that, right?
And
Mr. Ratford, you were at the governance committee meeting. It would have been useful to raise that committee at that issue at the time.
If you recall, I left that meeting over an hour late because I was on a PMD call and I was not there for the drafting of it.
You were certainly there for the drafting and the end of it.
Okay, go ahead.
That the finance committee report needs to be extended to 6 minutes.
Okay. I also point out that Mr. Condon had equal responsibility to remember this matter as chair of that committee.
All right, are there any objections to Sarah's recommendation that the finance committee report be extended to 60 minutes?
To what?
60 minutes?
60, 1 hour.
I don't feel we need that much time because, in all honesty, I spent 2 hours on the phone yesterday with Efren and Buckley while we worked over the budget because there are a lot of unanswered questions. What we have today is his working provisional budget with changes approved by the Finance Committee on Thursday and handed out by me yesterday. He's going to get revised it again next week a little to represent the actual from last year. I don't think it'll take 60 minutes. I can run all the numbers down and then we need to email everybody. And we provisionally approved the budget last month. It's only been tweaked a little bit since then. And then he's going to tweak it a little more next week. I think we can extend it maybe 10 or 15 minutes. I think the Janitor Committee much more realistically needs the additional time based on what happened last week. So.
How much?
The GM search committee, I think, should have an hour just because I remember how it went. It didn't go in 20 minutes,
When we get to it, we'll extend it. We probably will. Yes, go ahead.
I don't know if time is
right.
I think if we put 20 minutes there and a couple stuff, if we start voting, we could tally it up and continue business and then come back to the right.
Okay.
Right. Point of information. Just to be clear, our motion to amend the agenda takes 2/3 if we want to extend, rather than spending the time now to the majority vote.
No. Motion to extend takes.
Are you saying?
No, she's saying if we send when we get to the item, it just takes majority. If we do it now, it's complicated. So let's just do it when we get there. Okay.
Well,
right?
Well, motion to extend takes a 2/3 time.
Whenever you're extending time, doesn't it take a 2/3 time?
No,
we're
having an
approval. No need to extend time.
I'm looking for slides in this summer or something.
Right.
Yeah, I want to
go. So, but I made a motion to extend it by 10 minutes from 30 to 30, and that should give us more than enough time after talking to our friends on finance.
Do you have questions? You need a second person.
Yeah, a second on my song.
Second is what?
Say it again, please.
For the GM report, we extended by 10 minutes.
Fishman.
All right, do I have a second on that?
Second.
Okay, are there any objections to that?
I'm kind of in favor of that. I'm just saying I don't think we have enough. You know, I mean, when we have those long budget meetings, then we can hash out all that. But where is that? It's fine. I'm not trying to move it around. Oh, it's under the standing advisor's meeting, but it didn't end up being put as a separate item, you know?
When you have a lot of information, the election supervisor requested a 2/3.
One other thing I'd like to add to GM, we'll not be here. He did send a report. It takes less than 5 minutes for me to read it.
I make a motion that when the election supervisor shows up at 2:30, we give him a time certain. I don't think he's going to need more than 10 minutes, so it's not a big work.
Any adjustments to that?
All right, let's move to pass the amended agenda.
Okay, can we have a motion to pass the amended agenda?
So moved.
Okay, second?
Can we hear all the changes?
Okay, all right, we have a
30 minutes on the GM.
30 minutes on the GM committee.
Election supervisor time certain and Chris's motion time certain 4:05. Those are all
okay.
The changes.
Time
certain on
Chris's house and 4:05. When you finish your time, put it on the other side and
5 minutes. 5 minutes.
5 minutes on Monday.
And how much time is time?
We were going to leave it stand, and if we need to extend it, the time will stand. Do I have a second now on the approval of the agreement?
Yes,
okay, any objections?
Okay. The inclusion of an executive session that was not noticed to the public is illegal. Under the
Point of order. Yeah. How is it illegal when the public is excluded from public sessions? Why would we give notice on something that is private?
The executive session, the public can't attend it.
We already approved that agenda change. That's already been done. We can't, and he wants us to go back.
Are we doing all call on it, or are we just going to shut down? Can we just do a sugar?
If you're on, you can then not clearly add to the closed session.
which would be determined when we got him up, then the point board is not located because there is nothing on the agenda that we can put that.
Well,
we love you, Terry.
We've already added it to the agenda. We took a roll call vote on it, adding the motion that I enunciated, which was the privilege of the body motion to be heard in closed session at 4 o'clock. So that was voted on already by a roll call vote.
If it's been added to the agenda in session as closed session item, then that is point of order that needs to be ruled on. It's still timely because the agenda has been approved.
Now, what will happen if that's wrong?
You have to determine if the member's point is well taken or not. You make a ruling on it as when you accept his point of order is valid.
Okay.
I think we're letting it up valid out of order.
I'm going to make a ruling out of order right now. I'm working out of order.
Motion to amend a matter previously adopted, and that's Ali's motion.
We're going to take 15 minutes on this.
Do you have it?
You motivated the guy.
I
he has to motivate. He's a member.
Yes. Can you state the number, please, Elliot?
Sure. I'll try. I know this room is like a room of silence, so I'll use my specialty voice. We're going to be keeping the General Manager Search Committee. And at the last meeting, it was decided that the formation of the committee should be 7 listener members of the LSU and 3 staff members. And the breakdown of that would be 2 unpaid staff and 1 paid staff.
Correct. So that's 9. It was changed to 9.
9 what?
9 total.
63. Okay. 6, is that 6 listeners? Okay, 6 listeners, 3 staff. My notion is that rather than break down the staff into 1 paid and 2 unpaid, that there is just 1 election for the 3 staff representatives, and I will give my reasoning now. First of all, there's no distinction between paid and unpaid staff in the LSU election. None of the other LSUs make such a distinction. There are 6 staff members on this board. One of them is a full-time paid staff. Two of them are part-time. Where do you draw the line? Sharon has received money from the station. Is she a paid staff member? Shall I have?
Received money from the station? Can you share that?
Yeah, the unpaid staff.
Right. Yeah. Okay, program
I'm just saying, there's 6 staff members and Steve is part-time paid staff. There's 6 staff members on this board. To divide it up into 2 more elections, 1 for paid, 1 for unpaid. That's a whole other election, and it's discriminatory. Let the board decide who they want on this committee. Have 1 election for the 3 staff reps, regardless of part-time, full-time, unpaid, etc. So that's my motion is to strike the wording 2 unpaid for 1 paid.
Second, okay.
Which is to make it 2 staff, period, undifferentiated. The listeners objected vehemently last time, and I think they're correct. If we're going to go by listening to bylaws and the staff is not differentiated, the bylaws are 75% listeners, 25% staff. And the committee should be the same. So my substitute is that it be a total of 6 listeners and 2 staff, regardless of if they're paid or not.
Okay, we have a discussion on the substitute motion.
Could you repeat it loudly?
Do you repeat it, please?
My substitute is that it be revised and 1 staff member be dropped so that the committee is 6 listeners and 2 staff, not differentiating, so that it mirrors the composition of the LSD as for the bylaws, 75%, 25%. We had many listeners objections last time.
Yeah, I wanted to point out that we have these formulas for a reason in the bylaws. At least it wasn't particularly a good one. There were those who thought that there should be no staff on board, and for good reason, because of course they have a conflict of interest. In this case, they're going to be hiring their own boss. I object even in some parts of this motion itself, because it doesn't differentiate between unpaid and paid staff, where there are a large group of unpaid staff members and a much smaller group of paid staff members. And in fact, the bylaws do differentiate between who is paid and unpaid based on the hours they work, and the membership in the union is similar. And in fact, the fact that there has been a motion by this body to reimburse certain unpaid staff members for their costs to help defray the costs that incur coming to the station and doing work on station, gas, and child support and whatnot. And the fact that the motion was passed does not mean anyone ever got any money. And in fact, there's not a whole lot of evidence of that. the former program director refused to issue checks and we didn't have a special meeting with him. And so I don't know for a fact that Charlie did get a check.
As the other co-chair of the last general manager search committee last year, I believe our body was more like 10 or 12 members. And all these committees, just like the LSV, occasionally have someone who does not show up for a meeting. And so by having only 8 people on there, you're going to guarantee that about 5 people pick the next manager, okay? I think that's crazy. So, you know, I'll make a substitute, because I don't know how to do it. But I think it should be 9 listeners and 3 staff. And they should be differentiated, because we don't differentiate them when they get elected. It's, you know what I mean? We should follow the rules of the election. But I think if you start narrowing it down to 8, sir, you just won't have enough people on the committee, because we I believe it was 12 last year, and we usually had about 10 people. But we keep the same ratio, 75-25, by doing 9 listeners and 3 staff. We keep the same ratio, but we have the people that are
Okay, your motion is out of order, because we have to discuss this.
Well, okay, when we dispense it, Summer was just pointing out as one of the co-chairs of last year's committee that if we only have 8 people there, we're not going to have very many people picking the resumes. So it's better to have 12, we end up with 10, okay?
That's all information. When Summer is substitute, is the existing motion?
No, the existing motion, I believe, is 6 and 2.
It's 6-3.
Thank you, Jen.
B. 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 B
first of information, I'm giving their best because they have been brought to you, they have to be reconciled. Please.
People need to be heard one more time. I'm on the desk. This is a working committee, working, not just an honorary kind of thing, and it's an advisory committee. It did not select the manager. So it's an important committee, and it seems to me we need to have enough people who will function collegially to do the job in a timely manner. Whether it's 8, 9, 10, 11, it's irrelevant to me. But people who are committed to the time to do the work and recognize they're not picking the manager. They're picking a pool of people from whom the executive director
No.
They keep these three things in mind. Working, advisory, and the fact that the numbers you say does not matter if these are committed people.
Point of order. We're out of time for this agenda item. We just have to vote.
Can we take a vote on, we're out of time. Can I make a point of privilege and pleasure?
Yes, yes, yes. I'll be comments because there are a lot of unpaid and paid staff in the house.
No,
I think we're taking
vote. Bernie?
Okay, I want to take a vote on Ian. Ian? You just made it one more time.
The question was that we take certain substitute motion, except that I would choose that of the two seats that she lists for that, that one of them be paid and one of them be unpaid. And we can simply use the FTV voting process. Whoever gets ranked, the highest unpaid staff or the highest paid staff gets chosen out of that process, okay? So we're still having the same number of elections as we would otherwise.
Hold on.
Let's hear the public comment.
We can't do it until we discuss this amendment.
Point of information.
Yes,
these are really substantive amendments. I think the public heard all the amendments that we really should have comments before we take any vote.
Point of order.
It's the issue.
I was advised by my parliamentarian.
I'm calling for public comment before.
And
it's also out of order. We have public comment on the agenda. It has been approved. Okay, I am not going to public comment. Okay?
Okay, we're 2 minutes.
Can we take a vote on Ian again? Please state your vote again.
It was simply to amend Tina's motion to include that one of the, that we have, in her motion, we have two representatives of staff on the committee, that one of them be paid and one of them be unpaid. This requires separate election. We're using FTV. All these people are going to be ranked. All you have to do is pick the highest unpaid and highest paid. That's all you have to do.
Let's vote.
What point of information? Did we have set a precedent that on major items like those that we would the main motion was the one introduced by so before that motion voted on, there will be public comment.
Thanks.
But first, you have to propose Ian's amendment, then you have to propose the chairman's amendment.
Right.
Then we can we take a vote on Ian? 5 hands, please.
Would they have a reading of whether they have the national?
You just said an end.
Summer. Please.
Pay attention, man.
I will take the vote. Let me find it out. Are we doing hands or are we doing roll?
Hands. All in favor of Ian, raise your hand, please.
Yes. First, for Michael?
Yes. In favor.
Three.
All three.
Okay, all opposed?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Abstentions?
10 opposed. 11?
Okay. Okay, so
So is he saying move on to my substitute motion? Okay.
No,
no,
we have
the motion. I didn't make it.
Would
you
please?
I can amend.
You can amend
if you accept. You
can
take a vote,
it's
out of time.
Yeah. All right, can we have an extension
of 5 minutes
on this, please?
Yeah,
that's 2 minutes. Second? Can you ask me to keep a 5 minute extension? Okay, Summer, please take your vote.
My amendment is that we have 11 people on the committee, and that 8 of them be listener reps and 3 of them be staff undifferentiated between paid and unpaid.
My original amendment was, in order to achieve 75%, 25%, this does not do that.
It's close.
Okay, all in favor of Summers, please vote yes.
Yes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
Opposed?
1, 2, 3, 4.
Abstentions?
1.
Can we have the forward of the amendment, and then we're going to go to public comment.
That the General Legislature Committee be composed of 11 people, 8 of them listeners, members, the reps, and 3 of them undifferentiated staff members. Undifferentiated between paid and unpaid.
Okay.
So, 3-8 ratio, 11 people on the committee.
I'm going to go to public comment now. 10 minutes for public comment.
My suggestion is, you're saying the bylaws of 75-25, maybe we should up the number to 15, and 12 and 3 could be
Don't make personal attacks.
Okay, I'm not trying to be personal.
I didn't notice, sorry.
You thumbs up.
I'll only first people,
if you thumbs up,
you'll be able to
say
sure.
Hi, did
you just come together, right? It's in the second, it's the second, it's the program, it's the second, it's from a deal for Cipina, that's a direct retribution by IAB, who's controlling the network right now, going on up. By trying to
another person will attack. Okay, any more?
It's confined every March to the issue at hand.
Yeah, you have to find your remarks to the issue at hand. Okay, Summer was going to respond.
I just wanted to clarify a couple of things that the public has brought up. Now, I'm not aware of this 75-25 thing when it comes to people in committees, because in all the other committees, it's really that there must be a majority of LSC members. So I think it's a very big union point, because this doesn't come up on any other committee, and it certainly didn't come up last year. But as to the listener participation, which I understand the desire of everyone to do that, but we have employment laws that require us to keep people's resumes and information confidential. We all sign confidentiality agreements. We're not allowed to discuss them with listeners. We're not allowed to go home and discuss them with examples. No, but we can be sued if we, do something wrong with someone. Correct. But that's why you left us as your listener representative. I'm saying, because when you come into employment law, there are other laws to protect the people applying for the job, which apply. We supersede the interest of the public to participate in that part, which is why the public, elect us to go in and hopefully represent their interest. But we're required to do all these things to safeguard people's rights in employment. And if we don't, they can sue us. So that is why, it's not open. There's nothing advertised on the radio, because this isn't a committee in which we can invite the public to come and participate in the review. So, anyway, this is a point of clarity. It's not because no one wants to, but we're not allowed to.
All right.
So, thank you, guys. I have a
question. Wait a second. I the public has a
committee. I have a point of information for the public and for all of us. Well, this is the only committee on which there is a vote. It's not like every other committee.
Hold on 1 second. Any more public?
I have a question. You guys are talking about listeners. How do people get in touch with the effort? In the past, we have had listeners on this committee up to the point of process. Okay, and when we went into confidential matters, like reviewing resumes or doing telephone interviews, the listener member stepped away. But it was a very effective way of making sure that our process, at least, answered to the listener's needs and was sound. I will make a motion when this is turned to the board, an amendment, that would include listeners.
I want to remind you that this is very early stage right now. So the last being first meeting we had was very bipartisan, I thought.
And
are there members here? Who's members here that were on the last? Were you there too?
Leslie,
were you there?
Leslie,
Shona,
is there?
Were you there? What is the name? I'm talking about the last. On the same search, there were two committees.
So far, we've only had two errors reported. one ballot accidentally went to Steve Weatherwax, the other ballot accidentally went to Terry Dye. We have one report of two people that did not receive paper ballots within their envelope, so we're looking into that as well. There's been a short delay as far as the staff ballots are concerned. There was, issue that came up. The staff roster, the complete roster, was not properly vetted, and it was sent directly to Pacifica, to the mailing house, without being properly vetted by management. So as a result, that was bounced back to us. So that was the last second thing that we had to take care of this particular week, which has been taken care of. The addresses of the staff members that were correct, those are being mailed out. So the ones from the staff that have not been taken care of are going to be mailed first class by the radio station beginning this week. So every staff member will be getting a ballot in the mail. So, yes,
question? Yeah, I got a ballot today in the mail.
Are we taking questions yet?
No.
He recognized me and I wanted to ask him a question.
I'm
sorry, it's his report. Okay, go ahead, finish your report, and then we'll have
questions. We'll have questions after. Okay, all right. Okay, now, I wish to bring up a second item here that has occurred concerning one of the people that, she's not here today, but it's concerning memberships that qualify under volunteer for the local station board. This issue came up earlier in the election season. It was concerning Mr. Condon's membership. And this issue came up again concerning one of the volunteers to the local station board. Bella Close is not here today. But what occurred, and I call this whatever happened to Dallas Bella's ballot, is what happened was she doesn't have a membership. She's not a paid member. What happened was she appeared once to do an overnight volunteer at Victor Roy Hollywood. However, she signed in, but she never indicated her time in and time out. Now, according to the rules that we all know, you must have documented 3 hours of volunteer service to the station. That was never that was never done. It was never indicated because we have no way of proving that. And there were several other people on those written lists who did not have their time indicated. So therefore, there's no way of proving whether they were there for half a day or half an hour. Those are just the rules. It's just unfortunate that occurred, but it did occur. So she was not a valid volunteer member. Okay. Now, the third way of being a member of KCFK is through volunteer service to the local station board. Okay. But what happens there is no database, there's no coordination between KPFK's computer database, meaning Terry Dye's list. There's no information there. I was given from a Mr. Condon minutes, you call them minutes, correct?
Right? There were these logs of all committee members. The governance committee is obliged to keep all the rosters of committee members, and that's what I gave you, and I have all the rosters of committee members except for the outreach committee, and Mr. Poole apparently decided not to provide that information.
I have that information, however, it doesn't, and it's not coordinated with Terry Dye, and it doesn't indicate dates, addresses, it does not indicate phone numbers, emails, or any of the other information which is necessary to enter into Terry Dye's database. Unfortunately, the only information that we have to send up to the Les Bradshaw and to the mailing house is electronic, and we didn't have any of that information. So, what happened was, Bella got 3 strikes. Strike 1, no paid membership. Strike 2, no volunteer group. Strike 3, there was no coordination with her volunteer service. So as a result, she was not considered a valid member. Now what has happened since that time was Bella appeared at the mixer, the original local station board mixer to attract the candidates to KPFK that was held back, I think, last week. I do not recall exactly when it was. However, that was the point of where we offered all of the candidates an opportunity to have their petitions, their member petitions, signed. And it was supposed to be signed by valid members. And what happened to Bella was every petition that she signed at that point, because we're going on a database. We're going on the database of 17,496, which were qualified valid members. Her name did not appear on that computer database. So as a result, every petition that she signed, her signature was disqualified at that point. Okay, now, we dodged the bullet because, unfortunately, there were five people, because they did not have an adequate amount of signatures, qualified valid signatures, on their report, on their petition. They were disqualified. Now, we had to go through those databases. We had to go through and certify each and every one of those signatures. It was done by hand. This is not a computer thing that we can enter in. It has to be done by hand. Okay, so Bella was, her signature was disqualified for each and every one of those petitions. Luckily, or fortunately or unfortunately, whichever way you look at this, each of those candidates still needed more signatures. So this was not a deal breaker, but it could have been if one of those candidates just had her as the disqualified signature. We would have had to have re-entered that candidate in, and thus would have been an issue that would have thrown the election into, who knows, turmoil at that point. So we're all lucky that that did not occur, but we were this close to having that occur. So my request, at some point here in the very near future, the local station board coordinate something with Terry Guy or with anyone who's in charge of membership and that computer database, that you establish some sort of form, some sort of a database at the end of, or right before the election cycle begins. You coordinate all those things. Do yourself, do whatever committees you want to do that in, that all those names, all those volunteers who donate their service to the local station board, including you, Rick, are indicated on a separate form that we can enter into the database, because the database is the only thing that gets sent up to Pacifica, to West Radke, and thus to the mailing house. The local station board has no form that they send up there. So either one of two things has to happen. Number one, the station board has to send something up to the mailing house, to Pacifica, to Left Rackey, or it has to be entered into the KPFK database. It's not good enough to have the minutes, it's not good enough to have just that, because there's no way for us to determine. I just got here in June. I have no way of determining who served in January, who had breakfast on February 12, 2009. There's no way for me to determine that. I just got here in June. In the case of Bella, I was not even introduced to her until we were at this very same building in July. So I had no idea who she was or what services she donated. You cannot count on the election supervisor to be all-knowing and all-seeing. This is something, as a backup, that we have to basically put this down in paper and have it coordinated properly. So I'm just, as a personal request, I'm requesting everybody to take care of that.
2 minutes left.
Otherwise, that's basically it in a nutshell. I'll keep it very quickly. So,
yeah, I just if you, what way from the
are you?
Yes.
Are you seeing that?
Yes.
I started questioning
my part. I just received in a blue envelope, I believe, it's a draft ballot. Should I vote on that ballot? Is that ballot the ballot I should use? Or are you telling me that you sent out another staff?
No.
Okay,
you just be clear. Yeah, your ballot, your staff ballot is. You have the correct address,
right,
and everything was done. The problem was the addresses and all of the lists were, as they were properly placed in front of the control room at the radio station. A lot of people at the station either consider the election a joke or lack of data flow or attitude, whatever the case may be, but they didn't bother to update. The programmers, the heads of those shows, didn't bother to update that stuff. And unfortunately, there was no one at the station that vetted the list. And it was just that raw of Pennsylvania. So therefore, that's why that occurred.
Ian? Yeah, it's my understanding that the bylaws specifically make Committee members of the LSD members of the foundation, and unfortunately it sounds like we have inadequate record keeping on our part, which is disenfranchising members of the foundation. However, it seems to me like all we really have to do is find out if someone is or is not a member of a committee, and then ask them for their information and then put it into a database.
Yes.
And in the case of Bella, I am aware that she is a member of the PROC. Okay, but I'm just saying, the point is, she should have always been a member, and if her signature would have disqualified a candidate, for instance, not only should she be entered into the database with whatever address we need for her, and also those candidates should not be penalized for putting someone in who they would have known because they've been meeting with her that she's a member, et cetera, of the foundation. So,
but in this case, the candidates only did 15 valid signatures, and they still fell short, even with Bella's
comment and question. Okay, because after we saw you on Thursday, I went and spoke with Terry Guy to find out what the deal was because I don't believe I've gotten ballot. And I realized that he said that maybe he elaborated more on that, which is that Memphis, our system for handling paid membership, is not set up to deal with us. It doesn't have an option for entering members who don't donate money but are there because of committee membership, volunteers, and at the station, or other things. I mean, it's simply not set up to do that. And he looked at me like they keep asking me to do something that we can't input into the system because there's no donation attached, all right? And so we said we need an Excel file, a Thomas Limited file, or whatever file, but we need to create our own file at the LSB level, and we need to instigate something at the station that handles the very volunteers. Because he said people that volunteer at events and put in way more than 3 hours are also eligible, but nobody knows they've done it. And so anyway, so it is a housekeeping problem that we must resolve in order to have databasing of our committee members as well as a system for dealing with volunteers. So this doesn't happen again, but it really isn't the membership department's problem in terms of dealing with it because they aren't set up with the software that they use to deal with it. So we have to figure out another way. And, he can send it up to Berkeley for us, but we have to make it happen. It's not part of Memphis. So, and the other question is, if we straighten this all out, and those ones who didn't receive our ballots that certainly should have come get them,
This is not a point of personal privilege.
Absolutely.
Okay. Tony Bates, the volunteer coordinator at KPFK, left the employ of Pacifica and KPFK in late fall of 2008. I was put in the position of interim executive director on February 2nd, 2009. Thank you for the slanderous remark.
Their names are on the printed list of ballots, but they are not qualified to be certified for vote. How are we going to handle that? Okay. What has happened is on the website, I erroneously, I removed them from the website, but I was instructed by Les Ratke to put them back in. However, to put a comment in the little window where they have their statements indicating that this candidate has been disqualified. In the case of, in the case of one individual, his name is Nick Gibbs, he withdrew himself. It's a long story here, but basically, he didn't come to any events. He didn't come in to record his card. I asked him, are you still in this race because you're not showing any participation? He said, basically, I have to withdraw. I'm a little too busy right now. So he voluntarily withdrew his name from the candidacy. So there's one who personally withdrew for personal reasons. The rest were disqualified due to the lack of...
And explain briefly how this will be handled in the county. People will find these names in the ballot. They don't know about this.
They will be automatically bounced to their next choice. It's the standard transfer of and if I may say one thing about the volunteer list, I don't think many of you know that it's not my responsibility to vet or clean that list. But because the membership department has been so inundated, when I went to go request those lists, the February qualifier names hadn't been updated or entered into the system, so therefore I had to take my own time to enter those into the system. So that's not my job to do, but in order to help the station and the membership department, I took that responsibility on myself in order to make sure that everything was happening, because I saw that that wasn't going to be done. So I updated the volunteer membership list myself, okay? And that's where I noticed that there were many, many, many people that were not going to qualify because whoever handled the paperwork on that, it's almost like a roadside hotel. People checked in, but they didn't check out. But I'm sorry, but I mean, it's the truth. There's no way to prove it. And so if anybody wanted to challenge their membership, they would automatically be disqualified. It breaks my heart to say that, but what are we going to do? So the paperwork has to be kept accurate. Okay, I'm in a position right now where I hated to do that. Okay, the second point, I work on the June fund drive. However, I was falling behind in my own personal work, and I had to give it back to membership. So this is where, if I would have seen Bella DeSoto's name, I would have said, like, there's something going on here. But I did not see that. So therefore, that's why we wound up with this situation.
I have a couple of things. First of all, Michael has done an incredible job. It does not fall to him. We have four full-time paid staff in that department. And he not only had to go through, as I understand, the 17,000 paid listed subscribers, but deal with all this other. Jennifer is the only one who keeps track for the programmers. This is not like hey, this is the first time this has ever happened. It has been a constant problem. When I went to Paragon to say that Chris Condon is a volunteer, that he is the vice chair, he's on the LSB, he's the chair of government, it was news to Terry that this qualified someone for volunteer status. Now, something has to be done in terms of the people in that membership department for full-time staff, for 17,000 business subscribers, or one for every 4,000 plus subscribers.
We're at time on this issue. Can we extend the 5 minutes on this, please? Any objections to a 5 minute extension?
First of all, I want to thank you for bringing this to the board's attention. It is a serious concern. One suggestion I would like to make, and I think you put this in your report, is that I would have hoped that membership would be validated at the station-sponsored signature signing event. There were at least three people there.
that I know of who are not, who turned out to be not members. It's very misleading to have a candidate go to an event and be told that there will be members there at the time, collect signatures and tell strangers, and then find out later. I think it's fairly easy at the door to verify the membership. My second comment, and I have looked at the website where it says people have been disqualified, I would ask Les, I hope you would, if you could put a qualification in there that says they're disqualified due to circumstances beyond their control.
Okay.
Right now it just says they're disqualified, like they're really ugly people.
No, well, yeah, okay, I can do that.
Yeah, yeah, technically.
Please wait for your
recommendation. And can be written.
Sure.
Thank
you.
Oh, yeah.
I have 2 points.
Okay.
One is my personal. Now, I just want to get a point of clarification, and I think I piggyback off the church's last statement about the following time as opposed to always having petitions. So what you're saying is that an individual may be eligible to still run for this election if they are volunteering in another position,
whether
myself, or is it just strictly by
you would still be a valid candidate. You would still be, had it not been for the disqualified the signatures on your petition, you would still be in the race. So you would have been certified other than that. I mean, the issue came up earlier, and I'm not going to go into the details of that, but you were clear to that. It's just, in this case, with the petition, the non-valid petition, the non-valid signatures is what disqualified you, but you were qualified on every other level. So your answer is yes, you were still in the race. You would still be in the race. You were a valid, qualified candidate other than the petition, which is unfortunately what knocked you out.
Have you got the signature signed prior to the
state? That's correct.
Yeah, I wish. Okay. One thing that I would have done, however, again, in this case, my two volunteers, every time I've looked for volunteers, they've always fallen through. My two volunteers that were supposed to show up that day for that party, neither one of them showed up. So basically, I was running around that party like a chicken with my legs cut off, trying to take care of three or four things at once. So unfortunately, there was no way to do that because at many points, I was not at that front desk. At many points, I was not there. I did my best to instruct everybody because there were both staff and there were both listener members there. We separated. Staff had red tickets. I mean, red, my name is. And the members had blue tickets. We were trying our best. I was doing my best to oversee things. I did not foresee that both of my volunteers would not show up. Therefore, unfortunately, that safeguard was not in.
Okay, now hold on. Now, my next question, even to piggyback off that, number one is the electorate was not notified by mail that this happened. So, how do we deal with that issue? And then, number two, I would like to support the letter. Chairman, I would like to notate by the secretary that I take issue with this fact that I object to my disqualification based on the reason given today.
Why?
And that I will challenge this because the fact is that's no excuse. And it was circumstances beyond my control.
I am. Okay. I mean, I want to be fair to everybody, but I really speak, but because of time, we have a lot of business here to cover, and we're going to move on. Okay, so now we need to...
We're in the middle of a vote.
So I'm back to a motion that is then amended. A substitute.
Michael, would you get me kind of take it up first?
And how much time I have.
Hold on.
Okay, the motion, this is the finalizing the substitute motion, the amended motion.
I'm calling the question.
And just to restate what the motion was, so we all remember after our brief recess there, was that the GM search committee be comprised of 11 members, 8 listeners, 3 staff, undifferentiated by class.
I'll vote again.
All in favor? Jonathan Alexander.
Wait, I had my
He's getting all ready to be nominated.
Oh.
Okay, so go ahead.
If you're
going to
read out who's been nominated, who's been in two elections, maybe do the different categories.
Right, the staff versus the one.
Okay,
well.
Yeah.
It's the staff right now.
Oh, I
was? No, I mean, your name came up first.
Well, but the third name was.
Oh, I left him.
Go ahead.
Oh, I had my hand up. I had the nomination.
You have to get to the one.
No, I nominated all from the recent.
Yeah, I think he declined it. Okay, our elector has been nominated. Chris Condon, Jonathan Alexander,
Sean
Casey O'Brien, and Dan Dick.
Okay, sure. I am nominating Christina Juarez and Khalid Alamir.
Who does it?
Khalid Alamir.
Hello. Khalid.
And Rufina.
Okay. All right.
No, but she should be. Summer, you want to do this?
Oh.
I nominate Summer Reed. I've already nominated you.
Okay.
She's
got me
about
And for Donna for speaking out of turn, I nominate you. Okay, we've got the entire LSB nominated so far.
I'd like to nominate John Wenger.
Oh, yeah. And Donna Wood. She was nominated.
Did Josh come
in? Yeah.
Howie Lester, Chris Condon, Jonathan Alexander, Sean J.C. O'Brien, Dan Dittman, Regina Woods, Khalid. Joe Kamanaka, Rwanda Andiano, Israel Fjord, Rebecca Floor, Summer Lee, John Wenger, Donna Warren, Dan Lang, and Ian Johnson.
Where do I get the
loss? He was nominated, but since he declined.
And you declined to stand in front of
Thank you.
I move that nominations be closed. Any objections to closing nominations? There are no objections, nominations are closed.
We have a brief.
Yeah.
Thank you.
but
can you put your name on the board so we can see all the names?
And what, we do our SPD first choice?
You gotta ask him. Hey, Terry, you're going to have to explain how to do this properly to everybody.
No, the staff is...
Staff is in. Staff. 3-3, that's it.
Yeah, you don't vote on it.
All right, Ali, what's Jonathan Alexander?
No.
What? Staff, because I want them to know who it is.
Oh, I thought you were giving it to me.
No. They want to know. And who's the staff?
I'm Sean. I'm
from the
staff, too.
Sorry, don't worry. Anybody else doesn't know. Okay.
Until you have ranked it by putting a number next to the name.
Okay.
It says you put all names on the ballot.
So before you vote.
So
we do 1 through 12 or whatever it is?
1 through as many as you want. You don't have to rank everybody.
How many
did you rank at least one that doesn't work?
Eight seats. So we need at least eight.
You need at least one. You don't have to.
Right. We don't. Okay, I got you. I just want to be sure.
But there are eight seats. We said
all. Clarification. We know that all the people who were nominated who are not present have accepted. Regina, I can confirm that you have voted.
Yolanda,
yeah. Now, before you vote, you can approve a proviso that in the event of a vacancy, the next
So, given the fact that two people are unconfirmed, there should be a vote for.
Before you take the vote, you must make sure the members understand what the vote means. So, the body is beforehand that alternates are like the next time will fill vacancy in case they don't. So,
you know what?
You need to agree before you vote.
I would like to make a motion. That if we have vacancies that they not be filled, then you have to catch that person up all the way up there to work. I don't know if I should make this motion now or after we vote, but I knew that someone dropped off the committee that spot not be filled by an alternate for two reasons. One is we have to endeavor and we then have to catch up with all the work that's been done previously. And second, it's actually easier for a committee to work together at this moment. So if we start out with eight openings, I don't see why we wouldn't end up with eight, but if people drop off, it's just remain whoever's left. Because it's a smaller committee, it's easier to work with, and you don't have to check somebody up. And when you're interviewing people, not having given an interview really puts you at a gross disadvantage. So, on the issue about alternates, however, is because we have two candidates who do not know if they're agreeing to serve or not. So we have to be able to at least have two alternates who could be
I haven't mentioned it yet. Okay. Okay, can you just restated a little bit.
I move that we seek alternates if anyone who is nominated and elected at this time refuses to serve prior to the committee's first meeting. Once the committee meets, no additional alternates will be
needed. Second.
That's been seconded already. Can we take a hand vote on this, please? Any objections?
Yeah, I'm going to amend that. No alternate be seated once the candidate pool is under discussion. People could easily catch up reading the resume. Nothing happens until the point at which you start getting the resumes and reading them. There's no reason not to have alternates until that point.
I think the point she's making is that really the alternate issue is that we haven't consulted with every one of the candidates to see if they want to be on the committee. Not whether they flake out on us 3 weeks into the process, but do they say, yes, I want to do this, or no, God, I don't want to be on the committee. Because that way, whoever else gets selected today fills in their spot. But I think once we start, we stick with who's there. If they don't show up, they're just like committee members who don't show up to other committees, you know?
I'm sorry. Can we have the reading of the names one last time? I'm sorry.
Guys, need the reading of the names?
I'm sorry. Can we please have the names once again?
All right, Chris Fondren, Dan Goodman, Regina Ward, Liz Allen, Joe Shomanaka, Yolanda Angiano, Israel Fjord, Reza Poor, Summer Reese.
Wait, who can answer?
Reza Poor, Summer Reese, and Ian Johnstone.
And did you say John Weiner, too?
Oh, no, I didn't.
You sure to check that?
Oh, I didn't.
John Weiner.
Ms. Condon? Dan Goodman, Regina Ward, Khalid Al-Alim.
Who?
Khalid Al-Alim.
Khalid Al-Amir.
Al-Alim.
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 So take just a second. 15 nominees.
Oh, wait a second. Yosef Yamanaka, Rwanda Angiano, Israel Fuhr, Reza Poor, Summer Reese, Ian Johnstone, and John Lennon.
And did you get Donna Warren too?
Oh, yes, Donna Warren too. Yeah.
Well, did you say it was just right last name?
There's 12 listener candidates.
I've come up with 12.
Yeah, I triple checked it every time you read it.
12 listener candidates.
4 8 slots.
Well, right.
I have 13.
How?
How are you doing?
Chris Condon, Reza, Khalid, Rufina, Yosh, Israel, Yolanda, myself, John Winger, Summer, Donna Warren, Dan Wang, and Jan Newton.
Oh, Dan Wang didn't want to
do it.
Sorry.
No problem. So, can we commence to vote?
Jan's motion on alternate. We need to take a vote. I'm sorry, what was that? Jan's motion on alternate. We can vote on that one.
Just one question.
Okay. No,
I mean,
I decided that issue before I
saw it. Oh, about the alternate? Can we just vote on it? It seems very straightforward that we, you know, do you want to rephrase it or do you want me to rephrase it and we take the vote on it?
Just say it again.
No Dan Wang.
Alternates will be recognized after the first meeting of the committee.
All those in favor?
All those in favor? That's right.
Yes, I'm going to first meeting.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. All opposed?
All opposed.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Abstention.
Abstention. 1, 2, 3.
Motion carries.
Okay. And Harry, I'm sure you can handle this, whether we've written first and last or just last, right? As long as there's a number ranking. Thank you. I believe so. I'm sure I'm. My handwriting is terrible, you know.
Okay.
I have made a song about it. Yeah, I think I have.
The first item is an information item, but before I do that, I want to set the record straight after the report of the children in the committee last meeting. Mr. Conner, excuse me, lost in his sight. I would like to ask all of you who read the email in which both the secretary of the committee and I indicated that don't take your head, please, Conner.
I'm looking for something to throw away. Don't let them in and reveal what I'm doing. But it's not third grade school class.
I would like to know if you all didn't have a chance to read the email that I wrote. I would like to take the opportunity to read it because I was accused of lying with regard to the business of the committee. Did everyone read that email that I sent to the list? Yeah, as a point of personal privilege, I would like to read the relevant
section. Relevant section?
Yes.
The original motion, I will not read the section about the television system code and why I will not propose the resolution. The original motion that the program in the section that we passed by 924.07 is simple and straightforward. That a working group come up with a revised platform and needs a paradigm to see how this might be implemented. The vote is 6-0-1. The working group is comprised of Chris Thomas, Dean Johnson, Dean Webber. The issue of data collection during the fund drive was placed on the agenda of several cross meetings, including several discussions in GM High Chamber, which took extensive notes in the April 2009 meeting of Brock and assured us that he would try to institute something during the June fund drive. That is what I reported to the LSC. After Congress accused me of lying, claiming that I failed to report subsequent motion of data that was passed out of session, I am asked to check my own record and ask the Secretary of the Fox, Steve Weatherwax, to check his alert on the file. Although Conner has said that he had a motion that was distributed at the meeting of 11-13-08, according to an email from him on 12-15, there is no record in the location on this one from either a 12-15 or subsequent file. And I have Steve Weatherwax.
I don't know.
In our subsequent meeting to April 2009, with the question of forming an advisory body that would collect data and begin to evaluate new program proposals, the GM submitted some initial notes concerning the discussion of the 12-15 meeting. If Congress or any other member of the process able to produce evidence that the motion that the elected group and distributed on 11-13 was ever passed by the committee, both the Secretary and I would draw staff. The Secretary can respond to his notes, and I will apologize for not correcting my numbers. And the Secretary is most tired. I turn and want to say I give you all of my records as well. I turn and all through the prop minutes that I have. And it's a motion regarding the revision of the fund drive form of data collection info. There is no such motion because it's asked for a group which included Chris Conner, Dean Johnson, and myself, the meeting to GM, and Terry Guy, which members have questions.
So I'd like to now move on to.
Sure not. What's that? We'll take this. We'll deal with this in another way, in another time. But I will take a matter of executive
in my point of personal privilege, I would appreciate if you would be quiet.
Chair's not recognized. I'm speaking out of turn.
The first item is the information on this. The first meeting that we have since the appointment of the interim program director. We were concerned because we understand that some both members go ahead and program changes, but we were concerned in answering the purview of our committee. We were interested in learning what the process is going to be for selecting new programs. And our concern, there will be no program evaluation forever. And concern that those be necessary and we intend to do largely investigative. The action item is, at the 4:14 meeting, at the LSC meeting, 4:21, the LSC passed a motion. The original motion was
We have order, please.
The staff is going
to
the original application, number 421, was, in light of the financial crisis and the significant shares in the basis of the craft recommends the following for approval by the LSC, we reintroduced the motion because there was nothing seemed to be done at the CME level. And so we took it up at the cross meeting and we changed the slightly to be more concerned about the lack of flexibility. So the motion that we are bringing back now is that working groups be created at every station to initiate discussion on restructuring, especially the role of safety research and staff, and initiate training for programs by community volunteers. And that was passed this revised version unanimously 900-09-1009. And in light of this, we would like to want by our PNC delegates to bring this to PNC for priority specific.
What is the priority working? Priority working groups?
You have the motion from the committee. And you all have it before you. If the, where it starts accordingly, the motion follows.
I was going to
move
to call the question on the item blocked by the committee.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you have a second on this motion?
Well, we can vote
vote on it.
Yeah, we'll vote on it.
Yeah,
we'll take a vote.
I think that we're all in agreement with training programs. It's just that it shouldn't the word "and" be changed to "to"? Is it a typo?
And volunteer staff.
Okay, the second line between volunteer, between staff and
quiet, please.
Can you show it to her?
I'm sorry, which item are you talking
about?
Staff
and initiate. It should be two of the two.
And to initiate training. Okay, so we're seeing it too. Yeah. Well, because your discussions, initiate discussions on restructuring special role pay producers and volunteer staff, and initiate training is a separate action.
Yeah,
initiate
discussion. It should be two.
That's part of it.
Right?
And
what?
If that helps.
Can we take a vote on this, please?
One of the information, I want to be clear of what happened here.
Yeah.
What are we changing? What's the impact? It isn't clear to me.
Tell me either, Michael.
Well, we need to be clear.
I mean, because how do these words be written?
It's
discussing to do the following. Would it help to have a colon?
Where?
To initiate discussion colon. No, you have to change the and to two.
That's right.
Yeah, because it would be at every station to initiate discussions on restructuring, especially the well-paid producers and volunteer staff to initiate training. It's still a little clunky, frankly. But what is that? I mean, I guess what I think what Israel is asking is a working group. What does that mean? I mean, is that us in LSB? Is that the community?
I experienced working groups at the program oversight committee. They didn't get too much.
Wasn't that part of that other group that bumped into the POC and all the discussion? I just want to reiterate what Ollie said. This is all we've done. We have lots of volunteers and lots of volunteer training programs. A list was produced at the last meeting where we had dozens and dozens of volunteers. This is a totally redundant and useless motion. I'm voting against it. Thank you.
Okay, well, I can clarify the issue is how to restructure with, in terms of the use of volunteers and pay staff.
Okay, can we take a vote on it?
We've got 1 minute.
Take a vote and vote again.
So there's no changes in the word this one? Is that the case?
I guess there is a two, correct?
No.
A two is the place of the and here?
No, it's
and
grammar
central. Okay, can we, all in favor of the motion, raise your hands.
Call the question.
Can we vote on the motion? All right, now we're going to vote on the motion, correct?
Yeah.
Anyone in favor?
As amended with that one word, when I
do. Everybody in favor?
Wait, are we voting on
that?
We need to have a roll call.
Okay.
You want a roll call?
One moment.
Wait a minute. We need listener comments.
Well, that's because you've got a lot of conversation going on down that end.
This is in favor of the clock motion. Okay, so Gray Farron.
No.
Jonathan Alexander.
Pass.
Pass, okay. Khalid Alexander.
Yes.
Chris Condon.
No.
Israel Fjord.
Pass.
Shana Block.
Yes.
Jan Goodman. Ian Johnson.
Yes.
Tracy Larkin.
Yes.
Ali Vesta.
No.
Sean Casey O'Brien.
No.
Ray DeBoer.
Yes.
Ezra Raptor.
Yes.
Summer Reed. No. Vigo Ross.
Yes.
Donna Warren.
No.
Dan Wang. Abstain. Hold on, I have to write in your name. Okay, John Wanger. Okay, one moment, please.
Did you vote?
Moi? Yes. Did I miss anyone? I'm sorry. I had two passes. Sorry. Okay, and I had another pass. Did I not? Israel?
Abstain.
Okay.
What was
this time? Alexander. John Alexander. It was enough. So, have I missed anyone? Did I fail with only these names? Okay. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 yeses, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 noes, and 4 abstentions. We need a tiebreaker.
And if you don't vote, it fails. Such a waste of time.
Okay, so this is clock motion passed. Okay.
So we just said we're going to go into executive session. We're not going to have clock.
We haven't touched the budget. I know, it's incredible.
We have a time zone. We go to executive.
This is an agenda change, but can we please at least allow a 15-minute budget discussion before we go? I know the time is certain 4 o'clock. I honor that, but is there any way that we could maybe move that up a little, because this is an important matter?
We can do it at the end of our fiscal year.
Are there any objections to the 15-minute personal report? I need to remind you we have to be out of here by 5 o'clock as well.
I didn't hear any objection to that, so let's do the financial report and then deal with time set.
Okay, so I will keep it brief. Is that okay?
Once you make the report of the time, I'm going to get this.
Okay, so to keep it brief, because I don't have, here's where we're at on the budget. And as you all know, the other, the treasurer who briefly replaced me resigned, had family matters, and you know. So I'm your treasurer again, by default. she didn't, anyway, she was not able to fulfill the obligation. So.
Well, she
didn't show up at any meetings. Her father passed away, and
number,
she was anyway.
Can we keep the conversation?
She submitted a written resignation. So,
quiet down here, please.
And since I was the other person who was elected, then you know they reversed to me because she's left. So, our budget had all sorts of little things that didn't make sense to us on Thursday when we were at the finance meeting. The budget was provisionally passed last month. Unfortunately, the majority of LFB members chose not to attend the special evening finance committee meeting, the last one, and very few people were there, so virtually nobody hammered over the budget then, except for those of us already on the finance committee and a few people who came to the meeting. So the budget was provisionally passed last month, and it's only been tinkered with a little. I spent 2 hours on the phone yesterday with Efren up in Berkeley because our business manager... I can wait. Anyway, our business manager, as everyone knows, is relatively new. So, you know, I refer back to Efren because he's the person in the national office and knew what the numbers were. And a few things have been moved around from where the budget was on Thursday because they were not accurate. Like, we started the fund drive 2 weeks early this year because we didn't have any more money because we're out of money because the fund drives haven't been successful in large measure this year at the extent they were supposed to be. That was the figures off for fiscal 2010 because if you're calculating, you know, $1 million fund drive in October and it starts in September, half of your fund drive just occurred in the previous fiscal year. So we made budgetary adjustments so that the books balance out and we're not completely in the hole at the end of the year because we basically projected that next year's fund drive will start 2 weeks early also because we just started this one early. Otherwise, we would have been $500,000 short at the end of fiscal 2009. Okay. So now we have our 1 month reserve. These are, how do I put this? I mean, some of this is just number changing. You know, I mean, it may change over the course of the year, but it wasn't even going to balance out if we hadn't moved that fund drive up because when we looked at it, we said, he went, oh my God, you've got your fund drive starting 2 weeks early. Half your money is not in the following year, you know. So things like that. The big event that we're doing in October was booked for July. We shifted into the right place. There were a couple of things that were just anomalous entries that didn't even belong there. We cleaned them up and got rid of them. There were things booked in there like, you know, telemarketing expenses. Well, that was the previous manager's idea. Nobody liked the idea. It didn't move forward. There was no reason for that to still be in the budget, so we got rid of it. Adjustments to the board expenses because we all voted on approving a secretary at $100 a month, but that wasn't reflected in our budget line item for the board. We have two motions that were passed last month at the finance committee, and I wasn't at the last LFB meeting because it was my birthday, and the other treasurer wasn't there, and so I don't believe they were voted on by the board. So we can vote on them. We reflected them in the budget. If the board decides they don't want them, we can remove them because right now, you know, these are still members he's working with. Next week, he said he's going to adjust some of the estimations that are still hanging around from 2009 and put actuals in there so we have those numbers, which will change some of the numbers in the 2010 budget because it reflects last year's actuals rather than 2008 estimations for 2009. So there's a lot of that going on. The adjustments aren't resulting in any bottom line changes that are extreme. It's really internal budget line items, like is that correct? Does that represent something we're doing? Or is it adequate to cover the situation based on reality? And so I think the actual like total income projection adjusted very slightly. He emailed me a working copy shortly before this meeting started today. He's working on it over the weekend because he's doing all five stations' budgets. I told him to get some sleep tomorrow and finish our budget on Monday, you know. But anyhow, so we have our final income. Basically, where we're at with the national office is he's going to send corrected numbers to me next week reflecting last year's actuals and the adjusted predictions for 2010. And then we're going to email them out to everyone. So nothing significant has changed from the budget that was provisionally approved without significant review last month, except for adjustments to, you know, represent reality. We had, you know, we had like a community event thing, for a community event that wasn't happening. It was just a number sitting there. So we, you know, removed things like that. The two things that we voted on at finance committee that never became before the board that were adjustments to the budget is we did approve $12,000 a year, $1,000 a month, to help fund the internship program. However that is configured, and I don't want to get into that, whether it's volunteer, internship, things are already happening. We did not decide how that money is spent. Is it going for TAPES for intern? You know what I mean? We didn't pass that out. It was that if we say we want to have a functioning internship program, you have to have a little bit of money to make that work, even if you're utilizing resources that already existed in the station, like staff and programmers. So that's reflected in the budget. We got that money by getting rid of the $12,000 telemarketing line that was in the budget that we weren't planning to use, okay? So we didn't add anything. We simply eliminated something that was a non-happening event, all right? And we also voted for $50 per meeting for refreshments, because I find it somewhat onerous in this politically hip environment that those of us who are poor often have to go without so much of a cup of coffee for 5 hours worth of meetings when doing donated time. And we don't get along very well. We'd be happier with each other if we had, like, you know what I mean? It's $2 per board member per meeting to say, you know, maybe we have a pot of coffee and a pot of tea on. I don't know, you know, and what I'm trying to say is it's adjusted in with our $150 a month room rental. So if we can negotiate our room rental down to $100, we've got $100 to feed us and the members who probably come. But I frankly think we'll get along better, okay?
Absolutely.
And everyone, and that, you know, people who don't have as much money don't have to, or if you're broke that week, you don't have to say, gee, I'm going to get hypoglycemic because this meeting went on for 6 hours. We had no refreshments, okay? So it just, anyway, so that's the stuff that didn't come before the LCB to be approved, was the extra $50 for refreshments to be, and it wasn't just separately, it's just in with our $150 for our room rentals. So if we negotiated out, you know, better and groovy, that's, you know, on the people who do the negotiating on those things, and the internship money. So those things are reflected in the budget right now, so we kind of need to ratify that if everyone agrees that it would be good to have an internship program and allocate a little money. And if we don't spend the money, it's just a line item in the budget. You know what I mean? This isn't money. You know, if we don't have the money, we don't spend the money, we don't need the money, we don't have to spend the money. But that's what's in there. And those are the only real changes that have occurred since the budget was last voted on. However, we're at the end of the fiscal year. We have a national finance meeting on Tuesday. So it would be very helpful if all of us passed our budget. You know, I mean, we went through this, you know, fine tooth comb, all sorts of things that didn't make sense. What does that number mean? Okay, that's our mentor's fee for the year. You know, so we tried to clarify those things, and everyone's going to continue to clean those up for us. But it's essentially the same budget, except for a little bit of cleaning up. So anyway, if we can pass our budget on Tuesday, we could pass it at the national level. That, of course, means, you know, we'll get slightly different numbers next week based on the actual. That's the sum total of the finance report. I can answer individual things, but I don't have lots of budget to hand out, because I printed this out like 10 minutes before this meeting occurred, because that's what I got. Yeah. Shona and then Rico.
Can you ask me, please, I'm wondering if we have figures on where we stand on the commitment break. Now, with the last 600,000 that we were still outstanding, where do we stand on that?
The fulfillment rate, you know, how many people are actually sending in the money that they pledged and why we're so short. No, I'll be honest, Charlotte, I've only been the treasurer again for 3 days. And the new business manager is not familiar yet with, like, the tax reports that Efren used to generate for us that have copious amounts of detail. So I'm going to work with him because I talk with Efren. It's like, we need this, we need that. So I'm going to work with Anthony so we get the kinds of reports we used to get, which gave us 10 different graphs and covered everything. So I can't today give you this, but I'll be happy to, like, at next month's meeting, we should be able to have those numbers and for the last fund drives and everything. So it's just a different report that has to be generated. So.
Yeah, a couple of things. One is the archive, I just read this article that the archive is being possibly seen for huge rent.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
Well, no, because that's not our budget. The archives are a separate unit, and I mean, it's completely separate. We deal with their business on the National Finance Committee level, but it doesn't have anything to do with K's budget.
And are you recommending that we take a vote on this now?
I'm recommending that we provisionally approve it because it's been provisionally approved once already, and the adjustments have been essentially minor and have been reflected by taking other things out of the budget, and we haven't changed anything drastically, okay? And we're going to get slightly changed numbers next week, but if we don't approve our budget soon, we're going to be at the end of our fiscal year with no budget to start next year. And Efren's spending the weekend reworking those actuals for us, but we'll have cleaner numbers. He said it'll happen to me on Monday, so I mean, I will gladly make sure they get disseminated to the rest of the board members, but since we don't have another board meeting this month, if we don't approve the budget now, we go into the new fiscal year with no budget.
And lastly, I'd like to say thank you for jumping in there and filling that baby that we will need to have.
No problem. Glad to be back. I'm Leslie.
I was going to ask if you have, and again, thanks for stepping in, if you have the time, ability to answer questions when you read through the budget.
Yeah, yeah.
You
Well, you know how stuck I am with email, but yes, I will make a special effort like the week following budget distribution to check and answer people's questions. Because I spent a lot of time yesterday asking after those type of questions, like, what does this number mean? You know, we're sitting in finance meeting, we don't even know. And, oh, and just so everyone knows, I'll send you what FM sends us. The assumptions page of the budget is the one that has a little click-down window. A lot of the questions we end up asking is because we're looking at paper, and we don't know what the number means, but when you get the electronic version, you can click on the cell, and it'll open up a window and say, that's what this money is for. You know, like, there was a $6,000 fee once in a year on one budget line item in February. I'm like, what is that? What? And he says, oh, that's our once-a-year membership fee. Like, that's a recurring annual fee, and that's when it's due. So a lot of these things, if everyone takes the trouble, you may not need to email me of many questions if you click on the assumptions page and open up each thing that you have. And he doesn't have a cell on every number, but he has them on a lot of them, so you can say, what is that? What does that number represent?
And my apologies for not being meeting on Thursday
night. No problem. Well, I think we'll reschedule it in the following year. And kind of, we were trying to work around the other committee's schedules, and you know what I mean? We run out of days when nobody's having a meeting. But we may redo that because other people have said Thursday's difficult for them as well. So, I got any other questions? Yes,
I heard that the finance committee allocated $50 for advertising for
energy. Yes, because people like you are always absorbing the cost and other people, do you know what I mean? So, yeah, cost me. I mean,
yeah. Outreach committee for 4 years, every member coming and donating money and food, you know, for the.
I know.
So, are you going to?
I don't think it's retroactive, but it seems very unfair to me, because seriously, the burden falls on like two or three people on this board who bring in food. You bring food, Grace brings food, a few people bring food, and you guys do a lot. Okay, and I'd be happy to see the $50 go to you if you want to take the responsibility, say, yes, we'll bring the coffee and the this and that. But you know what I'm saying? No, we didn't. We thought it was hard enough to get anything for the future, much less the past. But it's patently unfair that two or three people pick up the entire burden of providing snacks for everybody else, and everybody would be a lot more pleasantly disposed if they weren't hungry, you know?
I move to the weird of the provision accepted as the second.
Second.
Any objections?
Thank you.
Objections?
Let's move on to
action. Yeah, okay, well, we need to adjourn this meeting.
Yeah, I move that we adjourn this meeting.
All right,
go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead.
The meeting is during the public portion of the meeting.
Okay, we'll have
5 or 10 minutes
of a
let me go to public comment for 10 minutes. 10 minutes of public comment.
1 minute.
Yeah.
We have budget up there. We have a budget in the coming year. Thanks for your work. Thanks for the support. Please vote yes. So.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment?
Lawrence, I think that is.
Lawrence?
Yeah, I want to tell you a story. There's a couple of board members that belong to this board. They can't leave the building, can't be threatening people, can't be screaming out at people, trying to intimidate them. For some reason, this is tolerated. And for some reason, if I get that, or somebody do this person black, was to act that way, there will be hell of a conflict. And for some reason, these people act this way. And these people know who they are, but they constantly act this way, so they become insulted, they make these really loud whistles that first somebody did from us, look confusing. And yet, if I was to do that, or perhaps even Mr. Ross was to do that, they'll be looking out to a higher standard. And we'll be held to accountability to the point where, again, I'm probably going to get a program banned from the station.
And I
I'm just showing myself.
I blew the whistle. And I will take responsibility for what happened. And your time is up.
Mr. Chairman,
it's
your best to be 5 seconds.
No!
You
get Todd Klein.
You want to do it, but the common people want to do it.
Todd. Go ahead. Come on.
I believe if it was something that he had some financial office that actually goes through the financial office, we've never seen a budget line item for Infinitivo Pacifica, and most of it, like the programming that is paid for in some fashion, doesn't get paid for locally. FSRN, we see here that we're going on, we pay separately, but like democracy now gets paid through national office. So I apologize. There's nothing to do with it. It has ever come past.
Regardless of the Chicano and Chicano community, how is Latino is a political term as opposed to and then she found the sun, which is what we self-determined we wanted to call it. The lack of the board not discussing the program change of the former people, without any notice to the public, arbitrarily, because I consider a missing interpreter directed reasoning for the change, total speeches, arbitrary, and it does take away very important skills in their deep time and technique.
You have two people that still
wanted
to comment.
We have 2 minutes. Hold on. We have 2 minutes.
Okay,
we have
2 minutes. And the lady down there.
I'm Nancy Kim. I just wanted to announce KPSA candidate forum is happening tomorrow in Glendale on 4 to 7 p.m. And it's the First Lutheran Church at 1300 East Colorado Street. If anybody's got the flyer.
Thank you.
Come back at 4:25.